Mr. Klein.
May I say in the first place, this has been a highly
stimulating
discussion. 5 minutes are so short
that
unfortunately it is sometimes difficult
to follow
Professor Rouet's good example,
that is to say,
to refer personally
to each of
the speakers. I excuse myself if trying
to put
across some of my ideas.
I do not
quote
as much as
I should. I would say, in
short aphorisms,
what is
the situation?
Monetary system is a system of multilateral compensation, internally and externally.
Besides that,
one says that money is a rod of
measuring value.
But if we go into
the field
of defining
what value is,
we lose ourselves. No doubt that it does the other thing. Money is
being created
spontaneously within the economy permanently.
We have
seen during the last century, monetary history of last century,
was
a system built upon the use of certain metals, and besides that,
a lot of
instruments which were spontaneously created by the economy
because the economy
needs these instruments for offsetting reciprocal obligations. The state has come in little by little officializing, aestheticizing some of these instruments, but new instruments have been created
in the rim
of the
existing,
and this goes on
still. I could
say from my experience in one of
those countries
which in this session have got rather low marks, that is to
say South American
countries,
that
in our great inflation,
it was
visible how the
economy,
inflation
stabilization
produces, of course,
a terrific
lack of liquidity.
And then
the economy helps
itself
and creates the
instruments
which are necessary
to
go on working.
Now,
if I come now to the point of gold, gold is, in fact,
a
means by which
we
try to enforce a certain
discipline. I am
completely in agreement
with
the speakers.
With the speakers, I'm not going
to cite them personally, who have stressed the necessity of
discipline
in monetary matters. Gold is a matter, but it is a matter.
It is
a means by which we fool ourselves and we fool the public
a little bit.
As long as we can
fool ourselves
and the public, it's all right. Any means to fool ourselves and the public is all right, as long as it enforces discipline. The fact is that,
for instance, in the
monetary outset of the United States, gold doesn't enforce
any
discipline if it is not the fear of an eventual
outflow of gold.
But it does not prevent
a much huger
creation
of
internal means of payment
at
any moment. Now, what is
concentrated
actually the value
of
any
measure
that
works
of any device
that
is used as a reserve?
Fundamentally,
in my opinion, in hoarding. That is to say,
it
is useful to have something which you can hoard. Gold, of course, is susceptible, especially
susceptible for
hoarding, and that's why it is a good
instrument to serve as a reserve. A national currency may, in peaceful and
quiet times,
be a good
instrument for hoarding.
Because
all over the world, it is interesting to know that you can at any time
go to the United States
and buy the cars or this or that, whatever
the United States
offer you. But certainly
it is not
a convenient device
for hoarding
as soon as the world gets into turmoil. But then again, would gold help?
Would
gold help us In the direction
in which we want
to go, if the political tensions would increase considerably in the world, and people actually
went
over to gold hoarding? I agree completely with,
especially
on a purely intellectual basis, with Mr. Friedman's thesis that
we should have a free
market for gold all over the world.
No, because
actually, the whole worth of gold, in my opinion, depends exclusively on the price which the main buyer of
gold is willing
to pay.
Of the
amount of American goods which the main buyer is willing to promise
against
gold. But if we had free gold market
and
free possibility of hoarding gold, maybe gold would have substantial worth or price
in itself
independently from the political
from the
decisions of the American government. In the end, I am very much in agreement with the
gentleman,
Professor Hahn. I believe all of us, Professor
Gideons,
who thinks that actually
the monetary arrangement
is secondary,
and the
primary point is discipline in economic relations. And they are,
I would say,
there are two points which I think are essential. As
long as we
don't put that in order, all the rest is void talk, so to say.
In the first place,
we have, in my opinion, tried to put the different economies in a more intimate relation. That is to say, suppress
lots
of the I don't find the word of the
impediments
which prevent the free flow of goods and
persons
from one economy to the other. If we
had that,
we would have it would be much easier to establish
also
a reasonable relationship between the different national currencies. I immediately end, Mr. Chairman. On the other side, it is very important, of course, that you,
as
Professor Mises has stressed, have an equilibrated public
budget.
But it is as necessary also that wages
become again
a little more flexible than they are at present. Mr. Chairman, I think this is
essentially the point
I wanted to make.
If
I'm permitted to answer Mr.
Professor Halperin,
through whose books I also have learned much my years, being myself
and yet in
the Monetary Fund.
The Monetary Fund is a human institution and is or will be
what we make
out of it. It is nothing else.